We appreciate that song and the tremendous message in that song. By the way, we've set a new standard for joining this church. You give your testimony and then you sing. A pretty song. So anyway, Jim, aren't you glad that you jumped on board just in time? So thank you very much, Grace. We appreciate the song and that testimony. Lord willing, at the end of the service, Rebecca is going to give her testimony, but she's not going to sing today. So anyway, but 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2, please, if you have your Bibles. We're going to be spending time, as I'm going to mention in a few moments, on the same topic for the next several weeks, and that is the topic of Christian liberty. And it is important we understand it and lay a foundation today. I'm going to begin reading verse 1 and read on down through verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for your word. And Lord, we do thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, we just give this time to thee. We ask you just to give me clarity. And Lord, to give me power from you, that the message might not fall on deaf ears, but Lord, it might fall upon fertile hearts, Lord, that we might grow. And Lord, that we might be knowledgeable of your word. And Lord, that we might live therein in the light of it. Lord, to do a work that will bring glory to your name. And Lord, we commit this time to thee. May you be glorified. And Lord, may you be honored and lifted up. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. As you know, one of the battles that we have is in our Christian life is balancing, having a proper biblical balance. It is very easy for us to get out of balance, and one such area in our day where people are having trouble balancing, it is this area of Christian liberty. On one side, people have a tendency to lean toward going into sin, flaunting their liberty. And then on the other side, there are people who are against everything, and they become very legalistic and judgmental. That's the other side. And so if we as a church are going to be what God wants us to be, we have to have the correct biblical view of what Christian liberty really is. We have to understand it, and then we have to live it out. And so I'm planning, not only this week, but probably the next three, we'll see how things go as far as time, covering the topic of Christian liberty. It is a wonderful topic, but it is one of those topics that, sorry to say, is really misunderstood. In order to jump into the topic, we must lay a foundation and lay out two basic biblical doctrines. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We are going to lay out before us two biblical doctrines because they're very foundational when it comes to the topic of Christian liberty. The two are the priesthood of the believer, and the second one is the soul liberty of man. Those two doctrines are two doctrines that, sorry to say, many people were put to death over. If you go back in the Dark Ages, many died over the doctrine of the priesthood of the believer. And so it's important we understand it. So if you're taking notes this morning, we're going to talk, first of all, is the priesthood of the believer. The definition is this. It is that each believer is his own priest under the high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is an extremely important doctrine for us to understand. You know it, but we need to understand it. It's each believer is his own priest under the high priest of our Lord Jesus Christ. A believer does not need to go through another man. Jesus Christ is our high priest, and we are priests. And so we don't need someone to sacrifice for us. The sacrifice has been made. We don't need someone to intercede for us. As far as a man, we have Jesus Christ, who is our intercessor. We don't need to go to another. We have Jesus Christ, who we can directly go to. To explain this and help you understand a little bit of the background concerning priests in the Bible, you'll note that before the Old Testament law, the head of each family acted as the high priest and the priest of the family. They took that position. And you'll find Noah offered sacrifices in the book of Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. You'll note Isaac did in Genesis 26 and 25. Verse 25. And in Genesis 31, verse 54, you'll note that Jacob offered sacrifices. And you'll note that Job offered sacrifices. Each man who was the head of his family, these men who were believers, they offered sacrifices. They took the position and had that position of being the priest of the home. When the law was proposed, you'll note that Israel was to be a nation of priests. And a verse for that is Exodus chapter 19, verse 20. They were a kingdom of priests, and they were a holy nation in Exodus 19, verse 6. But due to sin, you'll note God made a change. And under the law, you'll note that the family, Aaron and his family, the tribe of Levi, was then ordained to be the priests over Israel. And that is Exodus 28, verse 1. They were God's representatives who would go to God on behalf of the people, and they would get instruction from God, and they would go out and give the information to the people. They would also offer sacrifices for the people, but they took that position and were given that position by God. Following the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, all Christians are made priests under the priesthood of Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. And so it's important we understand that. And the scripture for that, one is we just read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We'll read it again. Ye also are as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I am a priest who can offer sacrifices through Jesus Christ to God himself. That is the position I hold as a Christian. Look with me at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his glorious light. Another passage is this, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And if we are going to understand Christian liberty, we have to understand we are priests under the great high priesthood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:10 says, "And hath made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now you say, what's the application? Well, there are several important applications that we have to understand when you think of the truth of Scripture. Number one is this, is Jesus Christ is the Christian's mediator between God and man. I don't need a pastor to do that. I don't need a priest to do that. Jesus Christ is my high priest. He is the mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. It is the man Christ Jesus." And so secondly, every believer through Jesus Christ has direct access personally to God himself. Every believer through the work of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, we have direct access to God himself. We don't have to go through a man. Now you say, is that happening in our day? Yes, all kinds of churches will go through a man and they will talk to a man to get to God. We understand this wonderful truth. We're priests. And as a priest, I can go through Jesus Christ, who is my mediator, directly to God with any need I might have. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That's Jesus Christ. Then it says this, "Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace," or without hesitation, "that we might find grace and mercy to help in time of need." I can go directly to Almighty God as a priest through Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous privilege. The third truth is this, as every believer has the right and the privilege also to read and understand God's word for himself. The high priest, Jesus Christ, sent when he went to heaven the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to indwell the believer. So every believer can go to the Word of God and find God's will for his life. He can understand it through the work of the Holy Spirit, and he can find what God wants him to know and how he is to live a life to honor and glorify and please God, not only in this life, but have an eternity in heaven. Each believer has that privilege. They don't need to go to a pastor or a priest or a elder or someone to try to figure it out. They can personally. Now, it's not wrong to get advice. It's not wrong to get training. It's not wrong to listen. But each believer can go and get what God has for them personally. You'll find in John chapter 5, verse 39, the Christians are encouraged, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." We're challenged to search the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 17:11, "They were more noble than those in Thessalonica," that was those in Berea, "because they received the word of God with all readiness, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether the things were so." Now you say, who is this? The church at Berea would take what the apostles taught them and search the Scriptures to see if they were being taught the truth of God's word. God has given each believer that privilege. Not only access to God, but we can find out what God's will is for our life. In the Old Testament, they did not have that privilege. We have that privilege. And of course, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, "But the anointing which we have received of him abide in you." This is speaking of the Holy Spirit. "And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. In John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, he shall guide you into all truth. I have the wonderful privilege as a believer to go to God himself through Jesus Christ, my high priest. I don't need another. I also have the privilege to study God's word through the Holy Spirit's work in my life. I can find out what God is saying and he has for me. I like to notice the fourth one is this, is every believer also can have immediate forgiveness of sins and cleansing personally. Every believer, because he is a priest, he can have immediate forgiveness of sins personally. I do not have to go and talk to another and have them intercede on my behalf to find forgiveness. I can go to God directly through Jesus Christ, and I can confess my sins, and I can find wonderful forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, Jesus Christ, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you realize what a privilege that is? It doesn't matter where you are or what you've done. If you come to Christ in true repentance, you can come from any place at any time and say, God, forgive me. And he promises to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The next one is this, is every believer also can perform spiritual sacrifices to God using his gifts in service to Jesus Christ. I do not have to have another do that for me. I can, as a priest, do spiritual sacrifices. I can do that myself. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 was read this morning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is a sacrifice. I can offer the sacrifice of myself to God as a vessel to be used for his service and for his glory. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We can offer the sacrifice of praising him and glorifying him and honoring him. And that's what we did. We had a testimony. We had songs that were sung, praising and exalting God. That is the sacrifice of our lips. We can do that personally. We don't need another. We also can give. And Philippians chapter 4, as we spent time a couple weeks ago, on Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, there, through things sent from you, Paul says, was an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable unto God. That was their giving to missionary work. It was a sweet smell, a sacrifice given to God. And so we as priests, we can go to God, we don't through Jesus Christ, we can go personally at any time from any place, whatever our need is. We can go and find forgiveness and help. And we can also offer sacrifices to him personally because we are priests. What a privilege. But there's another aspect, another doctrine I want to spend time on because this lays the foundation for Christian liberty. And that is the doctrine of soul liberty. You say, what does it mean by soul liberty? The definition is every believer is individually responsible to God. They, as a Christian, are ultimately accountable to God, and before God will give an account. There are those that want to say, well, you're accountable to men. We have all kinds of accountabilities. I'm accountable to my wife. She's accountable to me. I'm accountable somewhat to my children, to live right, to train them right. I'm accountable to government. I'm accountable to employer. There is all kinds of accountabilities that are biblical, but their ultimate accountability is this. I'm not accountable to a man. I will ultimately stand before Jesus Christ, and I will give an account to him. That's soul liberty. I will someday give an account for what I did with my life as a believer. Well, one is salvation. Did I put my trust in him? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did I put my trust in him? I will stand and give an account. I'll either be at the bema seat or I'll be at the great white throne judgment, depending on whether I'm born again or not. I'll give an account for my service, whether I gave my life in service. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But ultimately, in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, whether according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Soul liberty is that all of us are accountable to the God of the universe, and we will someday stand before him and give an account. That is a tremendous responsibility and accountability. In fact, it's a purifying thought to think that everyone here someday will stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of our life. We will answer. And we will answer honestly. There will be nothing hid. There will be no trickery, and there will be no swaying it, and there will be no talking my way out of it. I and you will give an account. That's soul liberty. We are responsible to God, ultimately. Not man, ultimately God. And we will give an account. And that ought to purify us, knowing that we will give an account. Romans chapter 14 and verses 10 through 12 say basically the same thing, but in that passage also says, like it says in Philippians, every knee someday will bow, and every tongue, those who reject, those who don't believe in God, those who say there is no God, they will stand, and then they will bow. And they will bow, every knee will bow, and they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. I met someone last week, and they had a loved one that had passed away. And I said, do you think that they were Christian? They said, no, they did not believe so. The reason they did not believe so is because a person claimed that he was an atheist, which he really wasn't. It kind of had, in order to excuse his lifestyle, that's what he kind of ran behind. And that's a tragedy. But whether he was an atheist or not an atheist isn't going to matter. Someday he's going to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he is going to admit it. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so there's two wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truths. When you think of Christian liberty, we have to lay the foundation that I, as a believer, have this tremendous privilege as a priest. I can go directly. I don't have to go through a man. I can go personally to the God of the universe through Jesus Christ with whatever need I have. And I can go to him and I can find forgiveness. I don't have to go and have him offer a sacrifice. I can offer sacrifices because I'm a priest, because I have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is my mediator between God and man. But also the sobering part of that is someday I will give an account. I will stand before Jesus Christ and I will give an account for, first of all, am I saved? Second, how I lived. But thirdly, I'm going to give an account before him for how I served him and how I honored and glorified his name through my life. I hope you understand those two things, because those two doctrines during the Dark Ages, people were burned at the stake over. because they were pulling away from the church. And the church elevated man above God. And when someone came along and said, no, Jesus Christ is my high priest. He's the one I go to the Heavenly Father through. He did the work, and I'm a priest, and I have the privilege of prayer, and I can find forgiveness, and I can offer sacrifices. I don't need a man. And someday I'll stand before him, and I'll give an account. For those two doctrines, many died. And we as Christians, we need to know them, and we need to hold to them. And we need to realize it is a tremendous privilege, the priesthood of the believer, that I'm a priest. But I want you to go back to this passage, and I want you to look with me what he says. In verse 6, verse 5, he talks about this priest, and he says, wherefore also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. He talks about a cornerstone, and he talks about unto which some stumble at. And then he said, but you're a chosen generation in verse 9. But what's it say? You're a peculiar people that what? That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. On the basis of our position, we are to live a way that shows forth his praises. In other words, shows who he is. Spending time, as you know, on Sunday morning during Sunday school, Tozer's book about God, getting to know God and Behold Your God series. We don't know him like we ought to. But the more we understand who he is, the more we realize we have a responsibility to show forth his praises to the world. And when you look at the doctrine, how can I help but not, since I'm a priest, live in such a way that I show forth his praises to a lost and dying world? Because someday I'll give an account. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. It's important we lay the foundation, and as we did this morning on the Christian liberty topic, we have a tremendous freedom in Christ, and many times we get off balanced. But we won't get off balance if we understand our position in Christ and the privilege we have and the responsibility we have to show forth his praises. What a wonder that I can, on a daily basis, on a moment notice, I can go to the God of the universe through Christ. And if I need grace, or I need help, or I need mercy, it's available in abundance. If I need forgiveness, he will forgive. I can offer him sacrifices because I'm a priest. But someday I'll give an account. Now here's my question to you as we close. Did you show forth his praises this past week? By what you said, by what you dwelt on, by how you responded, how you acted, but how you talked to people. Did you show forth his praises as a priest? You're supposed to. How many say, Pastor Moeller, God has spoken to me, and you say, Pastor, I didn't represent him very well this last week. And there was an area of my life that I really failed. And God has spoken to me, and with God's help, I'm going to ask him to help me this week show forth his praises to the world around me. Will you raise your hands, Pastor? That's me. I have that need. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Our Father, do thank thee so much for your word, and we do thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, as we've spent time on these two doctrines that are so basic, and Lord, we often just take them for granted. But Lord, help us to realize what a privilege we have as believers to come to you with the needs we have. Lord, we don't have to go through another. You are our high priest. And Lord, we can come to you with the needs we have, knowing that you have all we need, all the grace, all the mercy, and all the help. And Lord, that you will forgive. And Lord, you will accept our sacrifices as we offer to you. And Lord, we just ask you to bless us, Lord, that we might show forth your praises in light of the fact that one of these days we will give an account for how we lived. And Lord, may that move us to live in such a way that we will bring glory to your name. And Lord, be it the hands that went up and those that should have. Lord, may we find victory this week and may we show forth your praises. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.